on 95.7 The Game.
All right, big, tall people are coming in the studio soon. You should get over to YouTube and Twitch while we do have an extra few minutes. No surprise that, you know, things like this don't run on time. That's just not how it works.
Right.
So they'll be here. They'll be here very soon, and that'll be wonderful. And you should see on YouTube and Twitch what it all looks like. So get over there now, and then as soon as they're not here anymore, then Greg Cosell hammers Dan Dibley.
Well, and that's going to happen, but you had me thinking about really tall people arriving anywhere, and I was thinking about an Uber. Okay. So you call an Uber, and you're 7 feet tall, and, like, how does that work when a car shows up and maybe it's not big enough to accommodate your limbs, your overall stature,
I think
your
that that's,
size?
That's on that person to order, like, Uber Black or Uber...
Uber XXXL. Uber, yeah, Uber can I get an Uber tall? Yeah. I'm Uber tall.
Isn't there, like, Uber SUV or Uber Suburban or something?
I don't know, but
something.
Being 5'8", you know, when you're really small like I am, not, like, miniature, but small, you always think about, man, if only I was 6'4". And I think about that. I used to think about it a lot when I was doing a lot of sports, and then... You also have those moments like when you're on BART or you're on an airplane, it's like, thank God I'm 5'8". This is actually, I don't have any issues with leg room. You go ahead and recline your seat, buddy, in front of me. You're still not getting to me. And then you look at some people who are like, you know, bigger than you because you're 6'2", 6'3", whatever.
Like I'm yeah.
You're
yeah.
just tall enough. You're kind of in that sweet spot where you're tall enough to be tall-ish, but you're not so tall that it's an inconvenience.
That's accurate. Yes.
And, you know, our guy coming in is 7 foot, maybe 7'1".
Something.
Like, that's awesome to do what he does as a basketball player. And in general, it's like, dude, you're tall. That's really cool. But in things like, I don't know, being in a vehicle or on a plane, well, there's got to be a lot of things where it's inconvenient.
You got me thinking about awkward encounters and things, how society evolves, where it's like, can you imagine the idea of Uber or Lyft? You know, like 30 years ago. I mean, it's literally all...
It was called hitchhiking.
Right. It's all of the things that we were taught, don't ever do that. Don't ever, ever, ever do that.
Get in a car with a stranger.
I mean, and now we pay for it.
Right.
You pay for somebody to show up with a dirty, felt Toyota Corolla, and you get in the back of the car and let this person drive you around for a half hour. It is the most bizarre experience ever right. that has been normalized.
Well, and now it's even worse here in the city where, like, those Waymo vehicles, get in a car with no driver. Not only are you not getting in with a stranger.
It's kind of funny that I'm bothered by getting in with a stranger.
Right.
There are people getting in with no one.
And I walk by, and you do too. We walk to our parking garage, which is about a mile away, and you walk by these vehicles, and I always look in.
Oh, yeah.
Is somebody driving this?
It's still weird.
No you one's driving
look
that
in,
car.
I'm like, damn, there's a steering wheel and everything. And it's just driving down the street.
Nobody driving.
Do you ever get to the point where you just want to almost, like, test it? Not like really, really test it, because
you know
I don't want anybody to lose their life. But, like, do you ever get out in the middle of the street when it's still a block away and just look at it like, what are you going to do, steering wheel? Like, do you know that I'm here? Are your cameras working?
Are you really asking me that?
Driving at you, and then now you're playing chicken with a steering wheel. And who the hell's going to win that? Not you.
Oh, me.
No, you're not.
It's me against all your fancy cameras.
But you're going to get out of the way, because if you're wrong and the camera's not working, you're dead.
Well, I'd like to think that I could, at the last second, dive out of the way.
You ain't quick.
And you've
seen me. I've watched you go to the bathroom. It takes you 10 minutes to get down the hall.
I got to think about going to the bathroom halfway on the walk to the bathroom just to get things started. But yes, Mark, I'm that guy. When I see one of those cars coming, I'm going to jaywalk. Like, you going to stop?
You here?
Yeah. Yeah, look at me. I'm going to cross. I'm going to step off this curb.
Dude.
I'm a child.
Seriously. No, sometimes. What's the character's name from Shawshank Redemption?
Andy Dufresne?
No. The one who ends up hanging himself. Whatever was here. He writes.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name?
Not Doc.
What is it? Brooks.
Thank you.
Ken, the guy who, like, oddly knows everything. You're weird, Ken.
He's impressive.
Seriously. No, you know, you are. Like, within a week's time of hanging out with Ken, He knows everything about the Mets. Mm. He's going to see Oasis in Europe. He knows the characters' names in Shawshank Redemption. But how old are you, Ken? How old are you?
36.
But you're 36. That's weird. You read too much. You know too much for your age.
I'm an old soul.
Yeah. That's weird. But anyway.
And most of his teams are usually unwatchable, so you end up watching movies.
Well, and that's why you know the name Brooks from Shawshank Redemption. But anyway, remember when Brooks got let out and he's like, the world went and got itself in a hurry.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, do you ever feel like that where you're just cruising around out there and you're like, what the cars? Now we just get in the cars. Sometimes there's a driver. You don't ever know the driver. And then sometimes there's no driver at all. And everybody just shrugs like, yeah, that's normal.
Yep. Well, that was me in 2014 when I lost my gig. That was early Uber days, and so I went and got my car all registered up, and I was an Uber driver. Did about six.
I don't know this about you.
Oh, yeah. Six months of Uber driving. Yeah.
Oh, God. If you ever showed up to pick me up.
Dude, you have no idea.
That would be very unsettling.
4.8 stars. I bet.
Why not five?
Because there was one time where I had left my... I had left the passenger side window open overnight.
Okay.
It was a little bit of a rainy night in Oakland, so the seat was wet. So I take my kids to school. That was my routine. Drop the kids off at school,
Yeah. Turn
on the app, and then do from like, whatever, 9 to 2:30, I would drive Uber. Wherever it took me, it was cool, and then I'd go get the kids from school. I was underemployed at the time. So one day I didn't fully close my window and the seat got wet. And so I'm back there toweling it off. And I thought I had dried it.
Cloth seats.
And I go pick up Karen in the Berkeley Hills. And we're about 5 minutes into the drive.
Her name was actually Karen.
No.
But you're getting the visual, right? Are you getting a visual?
Of course.
Did you go by Dan or Dibs?
It was Dan.
Okay. So, like when they had to call you, they're like, is this Dan?
Karen gets in.
I'm three blocks ahead, Dan.
Karen gets in up in Kensington, which is Upper Berkeley, and I'm taking her into downtown Oakland or whatever. And after like 3 minutes, she's like, the seat is wet. The seat is so wet. And I'm looking in the rearview mirror.
What'd you say?
I said,
because that's on you. So what'd you say?
I said, do you want me to stop the car and towel it off? No, just keep driving. Okay. Jeez, I'm so sorry. 2 minutes later, the seat is so wet still. Karen, would you like me to stop the car and you can get a different ride? No, just keep going. I got one star.
Did you have her slide to the right?
I actually did recommend that, like, the other side of the
seat
is probably drier. It's too late now. My pants, my slacks are already wet. It's already, my day's already ruined.
Socks?
Slacks.
Oh, slacks.
My slacks are already ruined.
How the hell do socks get wet?
My action slacks are already ruined. One star for your boy. But
how many stars did you get her? Can you give stars back?
Not at that time, no.
But you can now, right?
Yeah. At the time, you just had to wear it. And then every time you got one star, you'd get like a bloom from the company, like, you know, can you tell us why you received one star? Karen thought that my seat was wet. P.S. It was drenched.
It was totally wet.
Yeah.
That seat is wet.
Totally. Anyway. Don't mind the fact that I was driving a broken down vehicle.
How do I not know this about you?
There's a lot you don't know about your boy.
See, I would have the hardest time. I'm too sarcastic. I would just turn around and look at, like, you're the one who got into some random car with some random person.
I was trying really hard. Just make it through the ride.
You ever consider your life? You're the one who just summoned with your phone
Right. Someone
you've never met and said, come get me.
Exactly.
Weird.
It just.
Anyway.
I can tell stories about my 6 months as an Uber driver.
Let's do it again next hour.
Let's do it.
All right. Some Warriors are going to show up any second. So
allegedly.
That's fine. But let's have fun at Dibs' expense first.
Oh, God.
Okay? I bet I can make you mad.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You want me to make you mad?
You can't.
I can totally make you mad. Today. Not in a minute. You're not going to be. You ready?
Try me.
All right. I got two tries. Two tries. You tell me if first one gets you mad, and then if it doesn't, does the second one get you mad? Okay. Here's the first one.
I don't care how it looks. If the Chiefs beat the Niners again, and y'all know it's bang, bang, through and through for your boy, I do Niners radio just because I like the Niners that much. I work overtime for the Niners. If the Chiefs beat the Niners again, how can I
come on television and
actually say, oh, the Niners got a shot? That would be lying to me. The Niners have to win. If you lose close, if you lose ugly, if you lose pretty, you still lose.
The Niners have to win.
Was that Emmanuel Acho?
Of course it was, on FS1.
He does Niners radio?
I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't either.
Well, he probably talks. He comes on our station.
Okay.
He goes on with Steiny and Goo.
And I'll be on tomorrow with Steiny and Goo.
Yeah, low-key shout-out to Steiny and Goo on FS1 today. I think that's what he means.
I'd prefer a high-key shout-out name-check him.
I've never heard him go on the other place.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't really anger me. And
they have to win.
Or else what, Acho?
They have to.
I want him to finish that. If they don't, what happens? Does Jed York sell the team? Do they move to Sacramento and play at River Cats Field or whatever the hell they call that?
That was mean-spirited.
No.
That was mean-spirited.
It was actually accurate.
No, there are A's fans crying now that you said that. They're crying.
A's fan crying.
Okay, well, he's crying.
And I've already had my moment with the A's themselves when they tried to say, it's not us, it's you, and turns out it was you, A's, not us. So I will forever, you know me and grudges. I'm going to keep it now.
I know.
And if
you're
I ever see Karen from, that was about 10 years ago, I'm going to let her know. That one doesn't really anger me because he's wrong.
I told you it was only try one. By the way, just to sort of like separate the two, I want to also tell you the text line is a constant flow of people waiting for Greg Cosell. I can feel you. There are listeners all over the Bay Area right now who have set countdown clocks as if it's New Year's Eve. And at 3:15, Greg Cosell is going to come in here and rip your limbs off of your body.
It's funny that people want that again because what's happening? You know what it was, Mark? It was funny. It was an education sensation for your boy. And I've come this week with so much more preparation that I can guarantee you that Greg's going to be like, you know what, dude?
You didn't react that way, did you?
Oh, I doubled down on the homework.
No less.
Oh, no, no.
No, let him be the expert.
I'm going
to
outfilm the film guy.
You're doing it wrong.
No, no, no.
Have you never? It's as if you've never been married and you've been married twice.
At least.
You don't learn the lesson and then go, I'm going to come back and show them that now I know what to get at the grocery store. Now I know the difference between an Envy apple and a Fuji apple. No.
Dude, I'm not just going to roll over like some punk.
Hey, Greg Cosell.
Hey, Greg, football, when they snap the ball, what happens?
That would work better. He won't rip you. Anyway.
Come for me, Cosell. You won't.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. One other quick aside.
Yeah.
This is how you know that this station, at least right now in this moment, because we have plenty of females who work here, but right now this is four dudes. It's me, it's you, it's Grandy, and it's Ken. And everybody knows that dudes don't necessarily plan everything out all the time. And so I'm going to ask the guys now here live on the air, who went through the very obvious possible scenario of the Warriors showing up right when Greg Cosell is on? in 14 minutes, because it's definitely happening, and I'd like to know what plan B is.
Yeah, that's a great question.
That counts. That actually counts.
So you're saying nobody thought of that?
Ever since they hadn't been here at 45, my mind has been, what happens if...
Hey, Quentin Post, would you like to ask Greg Cosell about the wide nine?
Greg, I noticed the Chiefs do a lot of 13 personnel. How does that jibe with the Niners playing a lot of nickel defense?
Hey, Greg, have you broken down any Warriors tape in the last few months? And would you like to suggest Draymond at the 4 or the 5?
That's a great question.
Thing about Greg Cosell is he is a classic rock aficionado.
Yes,
I wonder if he might be able to look at the tape of the Quentin Post singing of Don't Stop Believin'.
Oh, we got a little bit of that, too.
And where that ranks on, you know, like Journey for Greg Cosell, where do they rank on your classic rock? Journey's not really classic rock.
Yeah,
they kind of are.
Yeah, they're adjacent.
That song's a pop song. Earlier Journey, I think, is a little bit more of a rock experience, but I think Greg leans a little bit more toward the heavier stuff.
I'm not done trying to make you mad.
You can try. You're not going to get there. What a great mood today.
This is from the Morning Roast, and I'll tell you after who's saying it.
This is a must-win for the 49ers, in my opinion. And if I'm in that locker room, that's how I'm feeling, because like you just said, we lost to these guys in two of the biggest games, you know, two times in the biggest games of the season, and now we have an opportunity to play them in our backyard. You don't know when you have an opportunity to play the team that you lost in the Super Bowl, because we're in different, you know, conferences, but yes, this is a huge game. You know, the 49ers are now starting to get into their groove. We all know how they like to start the seasons over the past years, which has been kind of slow. You know, midway through the second quarter of the season, that's when the guys and Kyle Shanahan get the team, you know, rolling with the confidence and playing with the aspiration that, you know, everybody was hoping that they start the season with. So this is definitely a must-win for the 49ers. If they don't win, the season's not over. But for them losing to the Kansas City Chiefs twice in the Super Bowl game, I'm definitely feeling that this is a must-win.
Okay, Patrick Peterson in 58 seconds, three times.
Right.
The must-win.
Right, and he also said, if they don't win, the season's not over. So I would have come back at Patrick and said, well, Patrick, if they don't win and the season's not over, is it really a must-win? And I would like you to elaborate on what makes you think, like, what part of this is the must part of it? Because it's not the standings.
He did elaborate.
It's not the life and longevity of the franchise. Because if you lose, you still get to play next week, right? And they're allowed to beat Dallas.
Yeah, they're
still allowed to be a playoff team.
Sure, but that's sort of like that, in my opinion, that at times is overstating it or simplifying it a little bit too much. Like, you can call it a must win, and it doesn't necessarily have to be directed to the idea of the season ends if you don't win. That's very mathematical, and you're not wrong. So if that's how you want to look at the phrase must win, I think what he's talking about, because he did expand on it, is he's talking about the mentality of these players and that this is a devastating blow if they can't beat these guys. And so from that perspective, I do think, while I'm with you 99% of the time, because I'm not real big on that phrase either.
It's
but
just
that's,
lazy
but
is
that's
what it
me.
Is.
Well, I don't think so. From the perspective
of... my opinion, it's lazy.
That's fine. But I think and it's my opinion that it's not. So,
yeah.
You listen to what Patrick said, and I get what he's saying. This is and I agree from this. This is the word that I would use. This is a devastating blow if they lose. That's how I feel.
Yeah, he said it was a huge game, and I do think that it's a huge game. It's a big game, but you may not face Kansas City again. This may be the only time that these players face Kansas City. You could lose this game. Kansas City could make the playoffs. You can too. Kansas City loses too. Fill in the blank. You don't. You go to the Super Bowl, and you take on whoever you take on. And then this game isn't a must win. It's not a devastating blow. It's not a huge game. If you go out there and win every other game between now and February, we would look back at this game and think, well, you know what? That was a wake-up call game.
Yeah, but that's obviously that's a very big if, and secondly, it's not
So depends on how you approach
it. But it's not living in this moment. Like, we're here now, and he's talking about this moment. Like, I wonder if you buy this. This just came in on the Comcast business text line. And thank you very much. We love it when you interact with the show. So you can text. You can hang out on YouTube and Twitch. We will take your calls. 888-957-9570. Greg Cosell. He swaggers in here in about 8 minutes. 510 says, I think it is a must-win psychologically, Dibs. There is a difference, buddy. If they lose this weekend, they'll feel like they can never beat the Chiefs.
See, that's somebody on the text line projecting their own feelings into the feelings of a player. And if the players actually feel that, then I weep for those individuals and I weep for the coaching staff that has not coached them to the spot where they understand the perspective of this game and any other game. If you lose to Kansas City and you are that psychologically devastated by a loss to Kansas City, then you're weak-minded. And that's a coaching point. That's a franchise point. That's an individual point. It's organizational. That, to me, is weakness. If you fall to 3-4 and you lose to Kansas City and your takeaway is, well, we can't beat the Chiefs.
Well, I think
my God, what are we doing?
Well, to me,
you're pro athletes.
Your take is
you've got to go out there and fight.
That's a little black and white. I don't think that's what the texter is saying. I don't think that the 49ers would openly walk out and say that in a microphone, and I don't even think they would openly say it into
a mirror. That's what the texter is projecting into their psychology. No, that's what I'm hearing.
But psychology is so much more it's so much more complex than that. So, in other words, I mean, this is why so many people go to therapy, right? You got stuff going on in you that you can't access. You wouldn't say it. Anytime somebody looks at you and goes, I'm fine, I'd argue 99% of the time, no, you're not. So, in other words, the Niners will not sit there and say, even to themselves, damn it, we can't beat the Chiefs. But it's in there. It's in there. And I already feel it for them with listening to the way they've talked this week. Again, this isn't my opinion. You're right. How the hell can I tell you how Fred Warner feels? But listen to Fred. And if Fred is going to find a microphone and go, dude, I've been playing football for a while now, and I've never beat this guy. I got to beat this guy. And then you have them come to your place at a time where you are the more desperate team. I don't know who's healthier. They're both banged up. But especially as a defender, I would look at this team and go, it's not like you have a whole lot to offer right now. Like, you have Patrick Mahomes. He's amazing. But there's not weapons running around all over the place that scare the living hell out of you. There's a run game where they grabbed someone off the street 2 weeks ago and he's playing. So, like, if I'm Fred Warner, I'm like, dude, if we can't beat you Sunday, somewhere the seed of doubt gets planted in your DNA, whether you admit it or not.
Well, that's weakness.
I don't think so. That's humanity. That's
right.
Being a human being.
But also being a human being is being able to compartmentalize. And you come in here every day 2 to 6, and I come in here every day 2 to 6, and what you bring from 2 to 6 is probably different than what you do from 6 p.m. to 2 p.m. the next day. I know it is for me. What I'm doing in my life, what you do in your life, is totally different. You and I come in here for 4 hours, and our job is to do a show. And if we can't compartmentalize and put aside all of the poopy diapers and then this and that and what you got 3 kids and a bunch of problems. I got the same. I've got a wife. You have a girlfriend. You have 4 jobs. I got a bad knee. All the different things that we have, when we get on the mic, our job is to do the best damn show we can do. So it's the same thing
sure. In
a much bigger way that they're trying to do. And if you're feeling like, you know, when you line up and you look across the line and you see Patrick Mahomes and there are kernels within you thinking, man, I haven't beaten him. Geez, I don't know if I'm going to be able to spy the quarterback because he's really good and I haven't been able to beat him.
I'm not saying that they won't, that they'll lose the ability to function. They'll have the ability to compartmentalize. It also doesn't mean it's not in there and that it's not affecting them. All those things that you just said that we are dealing with outside of our show, they come to our show.
Of course.
We don't want them to, but they do. They do. They have. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
We see that. It happens all the time.
Every show.
It happens to everybody in all walks of life, and the 49ers are that, too. So that's all I'm agreeing with. I'm not saying they can't function. I'm not saying they can't win the Super Bowl. I'm saying it makes it harder, and I'm saying that they will carry that with them, and that is a negative. That is a net negative. I absolutely believe that success this year is less likely. It's not over. I don't know if anything's ever 0%, but it's not over. But it's less likely if they lose this weekend, and not for mathematical standings reasons.
For me, it depends on how it goes. And so far, what we've seen this year, as far as scars go, the scars that they've suffered are fourth quarter blown leads. Now, if Kansas City comes in here and beats you 36-9, now we're having a different conversation. But if you have a game where you lead again in the fourth quarter and you blow the lead again to Kansas City, well, then for me, it's not so much about Kansas City as it is about you.
The 510 who sent that text says he wants to call in and explain what he's saying to you.
He won't.
But yeah, to do it.
They won't.
Don't text it. Do it.